Welcome to the Weekly Insight Podcast, where we break down the noise of the week and help you understand the psychology of the markets with your host, Andrew Doerr at Insight Wealth Group.
Good morning. Welcome to the latest edition of the Weekly Insight Podcast. As usual, I am your host, Andrew Doerr. I appreciate you taking some time to join us today. I'm going to start off as we do every week and just remind you that if you are listening to this, I would encourage you to remember that what you're about to hear today are our opinions about the market, about the economy, about what's going on in the world today. None of what you hear today should be construed as individual investment advice. If you have questions or would like to discuss this as it relates to your personal portfolio, I'd encourage you to contact me or one of our other advisors at Insight Wealth Group to have a conversation. With that, let's move into what was a very dramatic week in the stock market. How's everybody feeling today? Because, man, when we left off last week, we were talking a lot about the impact fear could have on investment portfolios. And if you were not going into last week with a good mindset, fear could have definitely played a role. And I'm happy to say that Insight clients didn't go through that this week. Everybody held their water pretty well. But we were talking last week in this podcast, in our weekly Insight memo, that while we were confident for the long run in the economy, we would be sure to tell you if after what we heard last week, everyone needed to run away and go hide from this market after the Fed news was over. The good news this week, we still don't think any running is necessary. But the bad news, some of you are going to have to go find a good chiropractor because investors probably have whiplash after what we experienced last week. We'll dive into the outcome of the Fed meeting in a little bit because that is by far the most important thing that happened last week. But we want to take a few minutes to point out some statistics here so you kind of understand what the market went through last week. Because the first glaring headline, no question, if I had to just boil it down, if I were the editor of some news outlet that wanted to generate clicks, I would make the headline this: the market ended a volatile week down after the Fed announcement. Yeah, that's totally true. Everything about it is true. It was a very volatile week in the market. The market ended the week down, but not that badly. The S&P was down just 0.21% last week. While we saw massive swings upward and downward, a lot of drama, there was actually very little real price action that happened by the time the whole thing was said and done. But more importantly, I think it's very important to remember that what you're invested in matters. If we're talking about equities here, well, I think next week we're going to spend some time really diving into fixed income because there was a lot of action there as well, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that. It's often too easy maybe to talk about the equities markets. We'll dig in and spend some time on the fixed income markets next week as well so we can walk through that with you. But where you were invested in equities this week really mattered. Why do I say that? Because if you were invested in growth companies, I'll give you the example of the Russell 1000 Growth Index. So that is the 1000 largest growth companies in the stock market. If you invested in those companies last week, your portfolio was down 2.91%. That's a bad week. On the flip side, if you were instead invested in the Russell 1000 Value Index, so those are the 1,000 largest value-based companies, that's the benchmark we use to benchmark our Insight Dividend equity model, which is kind of our core equity model right now. If you were invested in those companies, your index would have been up 0.62% last week. That's a massive difference. Owning high-quality dividend-paying companies makes sense right now in this environment. Betting on long-term growth in a rising rate environment, not so much. So just remember that. I think the other thing I would point out, we really only got, other than the Fed meeting, which was by far the biggest economic news of the week, we only got one piece of actual economic data last week that was important nationwide, and that was the April jobs data. And I would argue the numbers were pretty good. The economy created 428,000 new jobs last month. That was higher than the 391,000 expected. However, we have to watch job reports with a little bit of caution. We don't want too good of a job report because we don't want to continue to drive unemployment down. We talked a little bit last week about the JOLTS report, the job openings report, and the fact that we had two times as many job openings as we had actual people looking for jobs. And we want to avoid, and Chairman Powell talked about this in his Fed meeting, we want to avoid a what we would call a wage price spiral when there are too few people looking for too many jobs and the prices start to rise dramatically. But what was important about the unemployment data that came out this last week was that the unemployment rate did not decline, even though we created 428,000 new jobs. What does that tell us? There's more people looking for jobs. We need that in this environment. So the stock market, not brutal last week. And well, it was brutal, but not in the end brutal unless you were heavily invested in growth companies. And the economic data that we saw was fairly positive. But let's talk about the Powell press conference, because in the end, that was all that mattered last week to some degree. Because what you're going to find out is that after it happened, everybody ignored what he said. You know, we've said for the last several weeks that what happened at the actual Fed meeting was not going to matter to the market. Everybody knew what was going to happen at the actual Fed meeting. Everyone knew that the FOMC was going to raise rates by 0.5% or 50 basis points. However, what was important was what happened after the Fed meeting. What happened when Chairman Powell took the stage, addressed reporters, and more importantly, took questions from reporters. What he said and how he said it was going to be hugely important for the market's path for the next several weeks or months. So let's talk about what happened. First, Powell did what everyone was expecting. They raised rates by 50 basis points. They also laid out the Fed's plan to let assets run off their balance sheet. I would argue that they've laid out actually a very good plan on that front. They've essentially said that instead of selling assets off their balance sheet, as assets mature, there is going to be a very regulated schedule by which they allow those assets to just mature without reinvesting those proceeds. It's a very well laid out strategy. Everyone knows what is going to happen and the market can react to that. That's a good thing. Then the questions started. And as usual, we watch Powell's press conference on one screen and the stock market on the other screen. And it's not atypical when he starts taking questions for the market to drop. And that's exactly what happened last Wednesday. But then we actually got into the questions. And I think the most important question of the day came from Steve Leisman at CNBC. And he asked bluntly, there are discussions about what the Fed is going to do in the future and whether or not the Fed will raise rates by 0.75% in June or 75 basis points in the June meeting. Is that something, Chairman Powell, that you're going to do? So before we get into his answer here, I want to go through some data because it's important to understand the perspective of the people who are, you know, making the market and what's being said by the person who's affecting the market. So prior to the meeting, prior to the press conference, I went on to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, keep something called the FedWatch tool, which is essentially a probability indicator based on what market participants are saying about what is going to happen with interest rates in future Federal Reserve meetings. So when we looked at that data, and that was, I looked at the snapshot at probably 12:45 p.m. Central. Chairman Powell went to the podium at 1:30 p.m. Central, so probably 45 minutes before him taking the podium. At that point in time, the CME's FedWatch tool was saying that there was a 97.9% chance, or 98% chance, that the Fed was going to raise rates by 75 basis points, or 0.75%, in their June meeting. That's interesting. It's interesting because we've never actually heard Chairman Powell say that. We've never heard leaders of the Fed say that there is a high likelihood of a 75 basis point hike in the June meeting. Never said that. But the fear of inflation has become so embedded in people's minds, along with the fear that the Fed will actually overreact, that market participants convince themselves, 98% chance prior to what happened on Wednesday, that the Fed was going to raise rates by 75 basis points in June. That would be a huge rate increase. So now let's go back to Steve Leisman's question. Is the Fed going to raise rates by 75 basis points in June? I am going to read for you word for word, and forgive me, this is, you know, it never comes out perfectly when you're looking at a press conference transcript, but I'm going to read it to you exactly what Chairman Powell said. Quote, "So a 75 basis point increase is not something the committee is actively considering. What we are doing is we raised 50 basis points today. And we said that, again, if economic and financial conditions evolve in ways that are consistent with our expectations, there is a broad sense on the committee that additional 50 basis point increases should be on 50 basis point increases should be on the table for the next couple of meetings. So we're going to make those decisions at the meetings, of course, and we'll be paying close attention to the incoming data and the evolving outlook as well as to financial conditions, end quote. That's a whole lot of Fed speak. Let's narrow it down to exactly what he just said. Number one, they are seriously considering raising rates 50 basis points at both the June and the July meetings. He's very clear about that. It's been discussed. They will continue to watch inflation, and they are willing to use that tool of 50 basis point hikes in both the June and July meetings if they need to. Number two, 75 basis point increases. What the market has been saying the Fed is going to do have not been considered at this time. That means they haven't even been discussed. Okay. So the market was wrong. The market loved that answer, by the way. It provided clear guidance, something that we haven't always had from the Fed. It said, listen, here's what's going to happen. For the next two meetings, here's what's going to happen. The worst thing that can happen, essentially, is 50 basis points for both of the next two meetings. So now we know. Now we understand, right? We can build our models around what is going to happen over the next 90 days. And because of that, the market shot up over 3% based, I would say, almost entirely on the answer to that question from Steve Leisman. So what the heck happened on Thursday and Friday? You know, the market was up 3% on that news on Wednesday. On Thursday and Friday, the market was down over 4%. Why would that happen after we get all of this great clarity? I don't have a perfect answer for you on that. But I am fairly sure it's tied largely to one issue. And that's the fact that the market decided that it just didn't believe Chairman Powell about 75 basis point hikes. Why do I say that? Because I went again over the weekend after Friday's close and I pulled the probabilities at the end of the day of what the Fed's rate hike scenario was going to look like for the June FOMC meeting. 17.1% of people believe that the Fed is going to hike rates 50 basis points in June, what Chairman Powell told everybody they were probably going to do. 82.9% of people, 83% of the market, believes that the Fed is going to raise rates 75 basis points. So we went from 98% to 83%, but the market is still overwhelmingly convinced that the Fed is going to do exactly what Chairman Powell said the Fed is not considering doing. Why? I don't have a perfect answer. I think it largely comes back to last week's memo and fear. People are afraid right now. People are afraid of inflation. The market remains unconvinced about what that track for inflation is going to be. They also, frankly, are scared about whether or not the Fed is going to be able to control it. So as such, they're a little unconvinced that 50 basis points in June and or July is going to be enough. And there isn't much that's going to convince them on that until they start to see encouraging news on the inflation front. When's that going to happen? I don't know. I really don't. I do know this. This week is inflation week. So last week was Fed week. This week is inflation week. On Wednesday, we get the CPI numbers. On Thursday, we get the PPI numbers. They're going to tell us what happened with inflation in April. The expectation right now is that CPI will grow 0.4% month over month from March to April. That's higher than the March number. In March, it grew 0.3%. What that number looks like is going to significantly influence the market between now and the next Fed meeting. We would expect the market to be choppy at best between now and when we get that CPI data. Once we get it, a good print, meaning a number below 0.4%, watch out, because now we have inflation below expectations, and a Fed that said we're not going to raise rates 75 basis points. That should be very good news. A bad number, though, a number above 0.4%, the market's going to become convinced that Powell undershot last week. It will likely mean more volatility leading up to the Fed meeting in June. We'll have to see. For now, sadly, I hate to tell you this, but we wait. And I'm getting a little sick of saying that. But we don't want to run around like chickens with our heads cut off. We don't want to run around fearful. We want to remain smartly invested. That comes back to the conversation we had earlier about growth versus value, about whether or not we want to be out on the bleeding edge or we want to be participating with high quality companies that have good cash flow. That's very important. I remain convinced that the case for fear is significantly overstated in this environment. Maybe, just maybe, the market should be paying a little bit more attention to what came out of Chairman Powell's mouth and a little bit less to what they imagine maybe be happening behind the scenes. Because we can let our imaginations run wild if we want to. But sometimes we have to work with the real data we've been given. And Chairman Powell gave some pretty clear remarks last week. And those remarks painted a much better picture than what the market is imagining right now. So with that, we'll leave it for this week. I look forward to touching base with you again next week. I hope this has been helpful. I hope this is a little bit better description and understanding of what happened last week. If you have any questions about this, please do not hesitate to give me or our team at Insight Wealth Group a call. You can reach us at 515-273-1333. I'd also encourage you to look at the weekly Insight memo. You can see it in the show notes attached to this podcast. You can also visit it at www.insightwealthgroup.com. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope this has been helpful, and I look forward to touching base with you next week. Thank you so much. Take care.
Securities offered through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and FA. Investment advisory services offered through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment firm.